Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. Hello, you're listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Chelsea Kirkland. I'm a librarian with DC Public Library. On today's episode of DCPL Presents, we're joined by Carolyn Becker, who is the Digital Communications Manager of Goodwill Greater Washington by day, the Instagrammer behind the popular DC Vegan Life account, and a girl about town, moving and shaking in the DC arts, culinary, and sustainable living scenes. Today, we'll be talking about what's going on in her world of DC thrifting, sustainable living, and vegan eats, how she's using her social media prowess to create community, and her tips on how you can do the same. Hello, Carolyn.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me this afternoon. I'm so excited to be here. And as a big fan advocate of DC Public Library, it really does mean a lot that I get to speak with you this afternoon.
Hey.
So thank you.
Yeah. All right. So let's start by learning a little bit about you. Why don't you tell us about your background? Where did you grow up?
All right. So I am actually a DC native, quote unquote, was born in DC. Grew up in the Bethesda area and have lived here ever since. I really haven't moved away. I've just moved. I always say this, I always find this funny. I don't move necessarily from state to state, but I do move from state to state street. So.
Nice. Okay, so lifelong DC area resident. And so in your professional life, you are digital communications manager. What is that? What's digital communications?
So digital communications, depending on the organization or agency, encompasses a lot of different things. But at Goodwill of Greater Washington, it constitutes social media management, some digital PR, so managing a community of influencers. It also involves everything from just sending out press releases via email to other organizations or news outlets, monitoring Yelp or review sites about Goodwill of Greater Washington, managing a blog. So it really involves a lot of different types of responsibilities that are all centered around digital media, specifically in my role, the internet. So
got it. So how did you get into that?
So in terms, just in, for digital media in general, my story goes a little bit far back in an unexpected way. So when I was in college, I majored in painting. That was my goal. I wanted to be an artist in DC. And so after graduating from undergraduate from American, I started to showcase my art around the community. And through that, I started to dabble into the world of social media and find that it was a place I could showcase my art as well as, you know, other passions like thrifting and all of the great finds I had. And so I found that, you know, within the art scene, I was very passionate about it, but I wanted to continue my studies. And with my entrepreneurial spirit, I felt that business was something that I could study or felt that it would make sense with my interests. So I went back to school and got my master's in marketing and always found my interest in social media still. Mm. It was a place where I could speak with others, share my finds, share my knowledge, and really find a DC community, whether it was through my other interests like in punk rock or just the arts and food. So after getting my master's in marketing, I started to look at social media positions. To cut this story short, I was working in a marketing agency in Bethesda and still posting about my Goodwill finds, and Goodwill found me, reached out to me. They said, hey, we love that your advocacy online. Why don't you blog for us on our fashion blog? Did that for several years, and then they had an opening on their team for a digital communications manager, and I applied for it. Goodwill was my passion. Love shopping secondhand, love sustainability, their mission. Applied for it, and here I am today. Now
it's
I'm on the team full time. It is definitely a dream. I cannot, would not, never complain. This is it for me.
That is so awesome. And they're lucky to have you, if I do say so myself.
You're too kind.
So you talked about what you do at Goodwill, and you talked about how you started working at Goodwill, but why don't you tell us a little bit about Goodwill? So we know that they run their thrift stores, where you can find some of the great fashion, that like what you have on today, which you can see on DCPL's Instagram. But what else does Goodwill do around town?
So, yes, thank you for asking this, because Goodwill, I know we always see them as retail stores. Goodwill is a name that you know as providing secondhand finds, from housewares to fashions to cookingware to that TV that's in your home, literally everything. But what most people don't know is that with the sales from our retail stores, we use about 91 cents to the dollar to support and fund our workforce development programs. And that isn't related to workforce development as in our retail employees. We use our funds to have programs, for example, a security training program, hospitality program, healthcare administration, where we provide the greater Washington community with the opportunity to obtain complimentary, so free certifications, so that they can pursue careers in hospitality and the other fields that I mentioned. So we are all about providing job opportunities and education opportunities to DC outside of the positions at our stores. We're about empowering and just allowing folks who may be disadvantaged or people with a disability, we allow them the opportunity to thrive if they, you know, choose to continue or pursue a different type of career.
Nice. So. And so your work, you, in terms of social media, you're promoting Goodwill for fashion, but are you also doing social media for the workforce development?
Yes. So we have two different channels. So our Goodwill of Greater Washington social media channels that are branded with that title are all about our stores, so our employees or our associates rather, our training programs and our school. So we have a charter school in DC called the Goodwill Excel Center, where it is a tuition-free institution where those can get and earn their high school diploma at, like I said, at no cost. So that's awesome. So our funds go to that school as well. But we also have a lifestyle brand that's focused on all things fashion, DIY, sustainability, and that's called Finding Your Good. And we have a community of bloggers who write for us, showcase their finds, and we have events throughout DC too, like clothing swaps. We did a free yoga class with Yoga District on Sunday, which was really exciting. So we promote it all through different handles and brands.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. How would somebody get on your fashion blog if they wanted?
Reach out to me. So just send me an email, carolyn.becker@dcgoodwill.org. Reach out to me. Send me a note. I'll also, you know, if you use our handle or tag on Instagram, I'll find you and I'll reach out to you if you post a cool fashion photo DIY project or just like, hey, love Goodwill. I'll reach out.
Nice.
So anybody can be on it.
Cool. So we are here today talking about being sustainably social with Carolyn Becker of Goodwill of Greater Washington and of DC Vegan Life, telling us about ways she engages with her community in DC around sustainable living. Quick library plug. Speaking of engaging with your community in DC, DC Public Library is currently hosting a Right to the City, which is in partnership with the Anacostia Community Museum, looking at how Washingtonians have shaped and reshaped their neighborhoods in extraordinary ways. We have special satellite exhibits at our Anacostia, Mount Pleasant, Watha T. Daniel Shaw, and Woodridge Neighborhood Libraries exploring the history of neighborhood change in six DC neighborhoods. And there's ongoing events at those participating libraries exploring topics like mapping segregation in DC and community resistance to displacement. And you can see dclibrary.org/righttothecity for details. Let's get back to this conversation. So you talked about working at Goodwill and how you got into it, which was your love of thrifting. So let's talk a little bit about that. When did you start getting into that thrifting?
I feel like sometimes I was like born at a Goodwill, like literally. Like I remember from when I was a kid going to the Goodwill on Bolingbrook Parkway and secondhand shopping with my parents. They really were advocates of shopping secondhand and finding that treasure. Whether I know my dad especially, he always loved being like, hey, Cam, look at this cool thing that you know we picked up. Look at this toe dolly. I feel like you found a toe dolly in Goodwill. I don't know how you
what
can find that.
What is a toe dolly?
You like put it on the back of your car and like tow a car with it. Like it's a really big contraption. But he was always about finding ways to save money and so that, you know, we could use it for other things, you know, as we grew up. So my parents really were advocates of shopping Goodwill or other, you know, stores like that in the area. So have always been shopping there, but didn't find my love of fashion until, excuse me, until I was in high school and I was really big into punk rock and dressing differently. Ooh. And just that whole mentality of being different and being yourself. Mm-hmm. So I found that Goodwill was a place where I could find, and other stores were places where I could find things that made me stand out. And from there, I started to learn more about fabrics and patterns. And I think it was natural that, you know, looking at labels and liking things that look different, I started to find a love of vintage and designer fashions as well. So as I went through college and into, you know, my working career, Goodwill was a place where I could find fashions that could still look unique and more of quality. So I think I always had a love for fashion, but as I got older, I learned more about brands and vintage and the history of fashion, which, you know, everything I was learning, I would post on social media and be like, hey, look at this great find, this Chanel pair of earrings I got for $4, just showcasing to the community what you can also find just as I was, or join me along.
So when you go into a Goodwill, what are you looking for?
I always look for items that are vintage or name brand or designer because, one, I know those are usually different from what you may find at a fast fashion retailer, and they're items that last. They really last a long time, and I'm looking to build a wardrobe that I can hopefully pass on to my kids or, you know, nieces or nephews or just friends as well and swap, you know, my wardrobe with others. But I really wanted to build a closet of items that, you know, I wouldn't, if I threw something in the wash, it wouldn't deteriorate. So those are main things that I look for when I'm out shopping. Patterns, materials. If you see me shopping at a Goodwill, you will likely know that I'm there because I go pretty quickly. I think it's because from shopping for so long, I have learned about different fabrics and just what different vintage patterns look like. So I quickly go through, feel it out, look at the labels, and then from there I will cull my shopping finds down. But it's really all about things that last and things that I can reuse and recycle for, you know, for years to come.
Are you looking for other things besides clothes, or are you focusing on clothes?
My main thing is clothes, but as I've started moving around DC, you know, shopping secondhand is great for buying furniture and housewares because we know that like buying a couch can be so expensive. Like, oh my goodness, it's like the cost of rent. Ridiculous. So I found that, you know, shopping secondhand, you can find some really great vintage housewares and pieces of furniture as well. Where I'm living now, which is actually down the street, a lot of our couches and rugs and chairs are either from Craigslist or Goodwill. And we know that they've lasted and they're unique and they're not necessarily something you'd find at a place like IKEA, which we have some stuff from, but shopping secondhand for furniture has been really great for our wallets. So,
side note for me on a personal level, baby clothes from thrift store where it's at, because it's so expensive new and so cheap secondhand, and they only wear it for like 3 days, right?
So true.
Yeah, so that's been really helpful for me. All right, so let's see. This might be a hard question. Favorite Goodwill find?
Oh my goodness. Oh man.
Or we can limit to like the past month, maybe.
Oh man. This is a hard question for real. I have a lot of great vintage. Oh, I know the answer. A lot of great designer vintage from Goodwill. Like a lot of my vintage dresses are from Goodwill. So can I just group them all as like one thing?
Sure.
But I remember this one morning I went to the Gaithersburg Goodwill. And I used to go, or I still go. A really good time to go to Goodwill is right in the morning, like right when they open. I know I'm giving away my secret, but we all shop differently. But I went at 10 a.m. when they opened, as they were rolling out new inventory, and I saw these sparkles on the rack. I was so excited. I saw sequins. And to my surprise, or not surprise, because Goodwill has great designer finds and whatnot, I found like an Yves Saint Laurent vintage sequin blazer, a Chanel blazer, a lot of other like older designers, all in just like this one rack. Like somebody in Gaithersburg just got rid of their costume fashion collection, and I was there for it. So I would say that was my best haul, because I was just like looking around the store. I was like, yo, is anybody here? Like, does anybody see what I'm finding? I was like hiding in my basket too. I was like, nobody can see what I have.
Wait, yeah. I never knew that it was pronounced that way, by the way.
Yves Saint Laurent?
I'm like, why Saint Laurent?
Hey, I mean, they're let. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It could be something. I may not be. I'm not good at French, though. So.
I'm convinced. Question, side note. Okay, so we got this Marie Kondo craze. What's the impact you're seeing in the stores? Is there lots of good stuff in there these days?
Yes. So at the beginning of the year, and as it's continued, donations to Goodwill have been higher. I don't want to say than ever before, because I don't know the precise statistics, but we have definitely seen an increase in donations at all of our stores. I know, so I personally, our HQ is on South Dakota Avenue. We're also moving to Noma later on this year. Woo-woo. Stay tuned for that news on our Facebook page. But just working at the Goodwill on South Dakota Avenue, as soon as the Marie Kondo phase, or craze, not phase, shouldn't be a phase, haha, the craze just started, our lines have been like out of the parking lot, like down South Dakota Avenue. It's fantastic because I know, like, you know, we were talking about before, you know, our mission is to provide opportunities for those in DC. So like I see that line and I'm like, yeah, opportunities being funded. Like, I'm just watching our mission grow as lines grow in our parking lot. But yes, we have seen an increase. And I know from a shopping standpoint, since folks are just like getting rid of stuff left and right, I've definitely been able to enjoy the fruits of their organization labor. So woohoo.
Nice.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So moving on to, okay, so we're talking about your personal shopping habits and whatnot, but I also want to talk, one thing that really impresses me about what you do is the way that you create community around thrifting and some of the events that I've been to that you do. It's just a really cool little scene. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about what that scene is like. What's going on in the DC thrifting scene from your perspective?
Sure. So I think it's, we're here. The secondhand shopping scene is definitely alive and strong, and it's definitely quickly growing. What's great about that scene is that it is consists of individuals of all backgrounds, all ages. Shopping anywhere secondhand is something that everybody can enjoy. So whether, you know, it's a different type of product that you enjoy or fashion style, everybody can unite under this one passion. So I would say it is alive and well and quickly growing. And I think this is also exemplified through, so every month Goodwill has a shopping meetup that I host. So I've done about like 30 of them now every month. Wow, it's a lot of them. But every morning I wish it was every morning. I don't have that many mornings to that I can wake up that early. But one Saturday a month, we go to a different Goodwill in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And that, so Goodwill has 20 stores. So we go to one of them, and we shop for an hour, just us, before the store opens. We get breakfast treats, and it's on meetupgroup.com. So if anybody listening wants to join that meetup, you can find us on meetup.com. And it's just a moment for everybody to shop together and mix and mingle. And I personally have gotten a lot of great friendships and relationships with the community out of it, because we're all bonding over shopping and we help one another, not just from a thrifting standpoint, but we have clothing swaps and just other events in the community where it's not just those who love to shop secondhand, but just a sustainable minded way of life. So reusing and recycling and creating less waste and clutter and just community building and sharing. So we've done events in the community. Like I said, we had a yoga class. We're doing a decluttering event in June. So we're finding that those who either like thrifting or like sustainability are kind of in the same group of interests. Mm-hmm. So that community, sustainability community, is great. The Department of Energy and the Environment is really also, along with Goodwill, doing a lot of great events and outreach in the community to inform the public about how we can reuse and recycle more and just shop with a more sustainable, focused like mindset. So they're doing a lot of great events for Earth Week and Fashion Revolution Week. They did a great panel. So I think, like I said, it's alive and well, and there are a lot of opportunities to be involved. Sustainable fashion isn't just about organic materials. It's about reusing and recycling and creating less waste.
Mm. So just to back up, the meetup.com group, if somebody wanted to join up, they would go to meetup.com and search?
Yes, they would find Goodwill Shopping Meetups.
Goodwill Shopping Meetups. Yes. You heard it here first.
Yes. And they're free.
And they're free, which is always great. We love that here at the library, especially, right?
Yes.
So Goodwill Shopping Meetups, you mentioned the Department of Energy and the Environment. Are there any other, because one thing I like about your social media presence is that you really promote some of the other individuals or organizations that are doing cool sustainability stuff. Is there anyone you want to shout out real quick?
I'm going to give a shout out to Swap DC. They have been excellent about growing the swapping community in DC. I feel like they have multiple clothing item swaps a week where they're just promoting a sustainable lifestyle, ways that you can just share your love of fashion and records and books with others in the community. So definitely love them. And definitely also, I want to give another shout out, please, to Rethread DC, led by, I work with her with Goodwill and a lot of other things. Name's Danielle. Rethread DC is all about textile recycling and also, like I said before, sustainable fashion. So they're doing a lot of events. They just launched, I think, their initiative Sustainability 2.0 in DC. We're just relaunching all of their initiatives and rebranding. So definitely a shout out to them too.
Nice. Okay, and if anyone wanted to find out about those, they could just look in the Google for Swap DC and Rethread DC.
Yes, Google. If you search on Instagram, they're there as well. And on my own personal pages, Petite_Punk and Finding Your Good Goodwill's Lifestyle Brand, we repost on Instagram stories their event information too.
Okay, perfect.
So if you want to be in the loop about upcoming events, you can just follow us or me there too.
Or you.
Or me.
And speaking of following you, so Finding Your Good is something that Carolyn is behind. And Petite Punk is your personal, right?
Yes.
And then the other Instagram presence that you have is DC Vegan Life, woo-woo, which is fun and very popular, if I say so. Tell me a little bit about that. What is that account about?
So So before I tell you exactly what it's about, I'm going to give you a little story. So I don't, or just something about me. So I don't really cook.
That's fair.
I would love to learn more, but I found that, you know, thrifting takes up more of my time than cooking and pursuing the arts and going to other events in DC. So yeah, I don't cook, but I love consuming, and I love consuming good food and supporting other businesses in DC who, you know, love food too and who can cook a lot better than I can. Mm-hmm. So I started DC Vegan Life, I would say, over 2 years ago when I first went vegan after being vegetarian for like 10 years. And I went vegan because of my friend, our shared friend, Rachel Atchison's birthday. She is a big leader in veganism in New York, and she was in D.C. for a bit as well. But I went vegan for her birthday for a week, and it just continued on from there. And within that, you know, that I would say like honeymoon phase, which I feel like I'm still on of being vegan, I was like, I got to support all these different restaurants in D.C. I want to share all of the finds at all of the cafes. So I started an account where I just started posting all the tasty food I was eating that I wasn't cooking myself, but I knew that, you know, others would enjoy. So I started posting, tagging other restaurants and brands that were DC focused, because I have my heart is in DC, my blood is in DC. So I want to further give back to the community just by supporting grocery stores or restaurants or just small food establishments. So DC Vegan Life is about all things vegan in DC, grocery finds, cheap eats, anything that's affordable. So I know when eating out, it can get expensive. So I also focus on just, you don't have to break the bank to, you know, eat vegan in DC. There are a lot of great options and opportunities in every neighborhood. So
Can you just take a second to, for our listeners who might not know what vegan is, to say like what it is to you?
To me, veganism is definitely, it's a mindset, it's a lifestyle, it's a part of my identity, it's a part of who I am. So it's, you know, veganism is a lot of different things to others. So it can be about everything related to animal rights and treatment. It can be about you know, eating in a different way that's more healthy for one's body. But I think my version of veganism is all that combined. But it is also about something that's very, like I said before, with sustainability and fashion, very sustainability focused, something that it directly affects the environment, the way that I'm consuming food. So I wanted to be, you know, going vegan and being more sustainable with fashion, doing things that are just better for the environment overall, whether it's through shopping habits with food and with fashion. So veganism for me is about a lot of things, but I think it's about, it's a lot. There's not just one thing.
Okay.
Veganism is different things to different people.
Okay, so. Okay. It's a complex identity, sounds
yes.
like. Okay.
Yes.
And definitionally, it's no animal products, right?
Yes.
No consuming animal products. Okay. And if our listeners wanted to learn more about veganism and vegan food and whatnot, a great place to find that information would be at the library. And you can go to dclibrary.org to search our catalog. We have tons of books and materials about veganism and vegan cooking and sustainability and whatnot. So check that out for more information. So you said that you started DC Vegan Life because you wanted to promote small businesses. Take me on your journey. You started it up from scratch and now you're pretty big, right?
I'm at 10.4, so 10,400 followers.
Okay, and so how'd you get from 0 to 10.4?
I think it's definitely an equation, and I think my background in social media has been beneficial to its growth, but also about just supporting each other in the community. I started just posting photos of my finds and using hashtags to my advantage, Social Media 101, using vegan-related hashtags. And I think the key is going to restaurants that you enjoy and being authentic about what you're posting, and then tagging other brands, making sure that you're shouting out where you're eating, putting the location in there. So I think tagging others and providing that support has allowed other brands to see that I'm there and I'm being an advocate, which allows them also, by tagging other brands, you know, on social media, they can sometimes put it in their stories or repost it themselves. So by word of mouth and just me showcasing my appreciation for this great food, you know, posts were shared, people tagged their friends on it, like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize you could find this amazing vegan mac and cheese in DC. I think it just spread naturally. Like, word of mouth is so powerful.
Side note, where's the mac and cheese?
Busboys and Poets has really good mac and cheese.
Wow.
They put, like, breadcrumbs on it, and it looks, like, if you look on my account, there I have some pictures of it, you wouldn't even, you know, some people say, like, I can't believe that's vegan. Oh, my God, it doesn't look it. I'm like, then what, you know, what do you want me to, like, a plate of celery with, like, yellow, like, substance on it? They say it doesn't look vegan, but it is. And that's, you know, one thing I try and promote on my accounts too is, like, food that you may not think that you could find is vegan that can be.
And I got to say, those pictures, it's just drool worthy for sure.
I'm like drooling right
and
now.
And you
I
do a great, you do a really good job of finding stuff. Like, I, like, you know, like maybe a restaurant that only has one thing, but it's like really delicious. Yes, you do a really good job of that.
I think it's also like that account, it's grown because of my curiosity of finding those little tidbits, because there are a lot of great restaurants in DC and food places that get a lot of love. Like we all, like Sticky Fingers is what's up. New Vegan is awesome. Farewell. But there are other places that I want to find that have vegan options. So I feel like I'm always calling through menus and like Googling like vegan options in DC or just looking. I love reading menus. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like, I'm just like, I stop at restaurants. I'm like, let me see what's vegan on that menu. And then I'll try it and post about it if I like it.
That explains a few things. I'm like, how does she find all this stuff?
I'm just like walking by places and reading menus. I think that's a big part of it.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. Even for non-vegans, right? Could only bring deliciousness. Totally. All right. So you talked a little bit about sharing, like tagging brands and sharing hashtags. What are other ways that you've been able to connect more with the community because you have this, like, you know, other folks in the vegan community because you have this account?
I think one great thing about the account too is, or with Instagram, is people can message you and ask for input or recommendations. So by being available, I try and answer all messages. So apologies to those who are still waiting to hear back from me. I try and provide recommendations and be timely with my responses. So That's one way I try to engage. So yes, tagging, sharing other people's posts. So for non-restaurants, if somebody tags DC Vegan Life or just DC Vegan on Instagram and there's a really great like dish that I haven't seen yet or found, I'll repost it on my page as on the in-feed or stories, just so I'm also shining the light on those who are finding other great dishes and offerings as well. So that's one way I've been empowering or, you know, bringing people together. And let's see if there's anything else. I haven't done any events yet. I really want to do like a 10K. I did this, or like we did this as a community of providing more options in DC, but I want to do an event. But also I think I love, like I said, I love helping other businesses. So with other businesses in the community, like Roro's, I think he just went all plant-based on his menu. When he first started, I was just like posting him like crazy. His food was great. I just wanted to help, you know, help him grow. And I think that gave him some followers or feedback out of it. But stuff like that, I think just helping one another.
So if there was a young vegan business and they wanted a little promotion, could they reach out to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send me a message. I have my email address in my account's profile. So reaching out to that, I'll definitely repost. Or if you just tag me, if you're a small business and you have something, let me know where you are. I'll do my best to make it out, and I'll repost to, like, if you have a cool potluck or event in the community, I'll put it on my stories. If you have some pictures, I'll put them on the in-feed as well. I think one thing that I found to be helpful for me is not being afraid to ask or reach out to brands. Mm. I know with some new restaurants or offerings in DC, I would just message and reach out and say, hey, I saw you had a new menu. What do you think I should try? Or, hey, I'm stopping by. I would love to meet you. And I think, you know, sometimes you may think, oh, I don't want to bother somebody. I don't want to reach out. I'll just try and figure it out. But there's a lot of power behind, you know, asking and I don't want to use the word networking but like just building community and communication.
So you're talking about if an individual like wants to check a spot out, just reach out and say, hey, what do you have that's vegan?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
All right. That's
like,
good.
You don't have to go into this weird investigation of like Googling the ingredients or something. Like you can ask a restaurant or call them up, go to the restaurant and ask. There's no harm in asking, and you're likely not bothering anybody if you're just asking.
Mm-hmm. That's a good tip.
Want more information.
Okay, so here we go, moment of truth.
Bum, so, bum, bum.
What are your top three, now that we talked about all the vegan scene in DC, top three vegan establishments? Or it doesn't have to be an all vegan, but, you know, if you're going to eat something, where are you going? Top three spots.
I'm going to give you my recent favorite spots because there's so many great options in DC. It's crazy. Mm. So recently, I have been going crazy on this spot called Little Sesame. They have a spot in Farragut North and just opened up in Chinatown as well. They have a lot of like hummus bowls, and they have vegan soft serve too, made out of tahini. They have a lot of different options for folks of all different types of ways of eating, but their vegan options are like on point and they're healthy and they taste good and fresh. They use local ingredients, and it's a small business too, so they are local to DC. So I love them. Senbeb right in Brightwood. They're not quite near a metro, but it's like a soul food vegan spot with really great brunch options like chicken and waffles and stuff like that. Great biscuits. And then other DC establishments that I love, that I go to a lot lately, definitely those. Pow Pow's awesome.
Pow Pow's
great on each street. They went all plant-based menu last year, but it's like a funky flair on Asian cuisine. And they have like banana, like quote-unquote like Nutella, like egg rolls and stuff like that. So and I feel like I've been a patron of theirs since they, you know, first opened or started offering more vegan options, and it's been great to see them grow, especially, you know, on their account. They've gotten a lot of great features like on Thrillist, so it's always great to see folks that you support grow along with you. So those three spots are awesome.
Yum. All right, so okay, so if it's not clear yet in this interview, Carolyn is an expert, I would say, social media networker and community builder. And what I would really like to get from you is some tips for people. So you're a content creator. You're somebody who has really harnessed the power of social media by saying, you know what? I'm interested in this thing. I'm passionate about this thing. I want to share. And you've been able to create sort of community and connections around those things. So I would like to know some tips that you might have. So say I have a passion or an interest and I want to start up my own account. What are some tips that I should remember? Just some basics.
Sure. So first, find a passion that really resonates with you. I think that with any social media account, authenticity is something that the audience can tell, that you can really feel. So if you're posting about something that feels forced, I think the audience may know. They may not know, but if it's more passionate and authentic to you, you'll be more excited to post about it. So find that passion. I would also say, you know, think of launching an account with also kind of like a business mindset. Like, look at the space, see what's out there, especially if you're launching an Instagram page, see what's available. If you're interested in food, what is your favorite type of food? What type are you, gluten-free? Do you want gluten-free Indian food? Is that your favorite type? So find something that maybe not isn't already out there. So find a niche that isn't tapped into yet. Mm. Don't make it feel forced. If there's something that you really love that everybody, you know, a lot of other people are doing, go for it. But it has definitely helped, at least with DC Vegan Life, of launching it at a time when there weren't a lot of vegan accounts that were DC focused. Mm. So find something that's niche and passionate for you. And then it really images speak a lot, especially if we're on Instagram. You first look at a picture and then you read the caption. So I would say if you have a smartphone, make sure that, I know that, you know, smartphones can be expensive, but if you have one with a good camera, use that and take good pictures, because pictures say a lot. So play around with angles, color palettes. With some great successful accounts, those with color palettes that are more cohesive, they have like a blue in a part of each picture, or they're warmer in tone, they're consistent, they look nice on the feed as a collection. So find your brand voice and color that works for you. So great images. I would also say make sure that the captions with your pictures are informative but also not too long, and leverage hashtags to your advantage. So you can use up to 30 on Instagram. You may not be able want to use all of them because they can get kind of crazy and complicated within your caption, but find ones that are related to your interest and to what you're posting about. Next up, I would say post consistently. So post, I would say I post once a day or once every other day to make sure that, you know, fans always know that they have something that they can look forward to. Times during the day when I post are typically around lunchtime and dinner time, or maybe breakfast, key times when I know folks are eating or figuring out what they want to eat.
Because of the vegan. Okay,
exactly, because they'll be looking for where to eat and looking at food online. So if whatever interest you're pursuing, figure out a time that works for you. Also in general, a lot of folks are on Instagram or searching social media before work when they're commuting to work, okay, on their lunch break, 3 p.m. when sometimes like the slump happens and you're kind of tired when you're commuting.
Slacking off.
Exactly. You're like, oh, I need to like refresh after work, and like around 8 p.m. too.
Okay.
Some days it's not for the same for all of them. Like on a Friday night, people are usually out at dinner going, you know, doing their thing. So Saturday morning may be more beneficial. So that's important, being consistent. And then also, like I said, it's about sharing and community building. So tag other brands when you're at, you know, when you're using their product or at their space. If you are not promoting a brand, but you're like promoting your craft, tag this where your studio space is, or tag the brands of materials that you're using, because it's likely that somebody else will share, you know, your creation too, and spread the word about you and what you've created or what you enjoy. So those are some tips, but I would say being consistent and quality, and very, I would say, very purposeful. Like thinking about what you post, doing it not just maybe just like on the cuff, but thinking about what should I post today, what time, what the picture may look like, what will my fans enjoy, and like as like what would you want to see if you were looking at an account, like a vegan account or, you know, a DC plant focused account, stuff like that. What would you want to see?
Yeah. Okay. Those are great tips. Let me do it. Let me just do a summary, because I feel like that was a lot of great stuff. So we said, pick something you're passionate about, leverage hashtags to your advantage. How many people do you think are finding you from hashtags? Do you have a sense?
I don't. I know DC Vegan Life hashtag has been getting bigger and bigger. But when I use hashtags like that, that are more specific, I think that people, when they're just searching for a find in the community, are able to find me easier. I say if you're using more like general hashtags, here's a tip. General hashtags are great for findability, but a lot of people are using hashtags like Throwback Thursday or TBT. Mm. So it's a great theme for a post. But if you search, if you click on Throwback Thursday hashtag, there's like so much of it going on. So a combination of like more general and more specific, but branded hashtags are really useful. Like branded. I have a DC Vegan Life hashtag that I encourage folks to use, or if people use DC Vegan, I use that hashtag too, so people can find me. Yeah.
Okay, so hashtags, and then you said tag other brands to connect with and get that cross promotion.
Yes.
Mutually beneficial.
And friends too.
And friends, yeah. So you're networking. Okay. So just a couple more questions about the social media before we wrap up here. One is, so your platform of choice is Instagram, correct?
Yes, I love Instagram. Woo woo.
And so I'm not as proficient, admittedly, at social media as you are, and sometimes I'm unsure what platform is for what.
Yes.
So why Instagram, and what might you use Facebook or Twitter for?
Sure. So Instagram is great for, at one time I would say that Instagram is great for more millennial or Gen Z audiences, but I know like everybody's joining Instagram now. But Instagram is great for lifestyle content that is would be great in a photograph. It's great for news too, but like I said, very image heavy. So things like food or lifestyle, or like the hotel where we are here now, Line Hotel, is really great on Instagram. And it's more, like I said, for like lifestyle and some news. It's not good for the best for sharing links if you're like want to direct somebody to like blog posts every day. I would say it's great for behind the scenes too. Facebook is great for news sharing, so promoting articles. It's also great for lead generation, so for shopping, booking, signups, learning more information, posting articles and links on that page. Definitely, you can also create events on there. So getting RSVPs for events, promote that you have an event on Instagram, but get the RSVPs on Facebook.
Okay.
It's also great just for like general brand building and information sharing. And then Twitter is definitely great for news and links as well. Some pictures. I don't use Twitter as often because I think Facebook and Instagram do the job for me as well. But then LinkedIn, I use LinkedIn a lot for Goodwill. That's great for connecting to your professional communities and networking. So industry news and job related information, mission related information, stuff like that. So
that's your overview of it from the professional. Okay, so let's see. I got one more question here for you. So this is really tying it together. So what are the benefits of using social media? So why even use social media to connect, to promote your passion projects, all that? What has that brought you?
I think social media is definitely great for cultivating and building relationships overall. And whether it's building relationships and making new connections as a brand or as a business or just as a friend and folks, you know, keeping in touch with one another if they haven't seen each other in a while or they live far apart. So social media has been a great way for me to stay updated, consume information in a way that's tailored to my interests, but also just keeping up with friends and family. I always think, like, if I were to delete all my accounts, what would be the case? I just feel like I wouldn't be as in tune with the community. It's a way to collaborate, communicate, network, cultivate. And you know, always, if you can't afford to go out to something to create a network or create a relationship, you can support other brands and folks through social media. You don't have to pay to play all the time. So
one thing I like about it is it's kind of random. I mean, every, like on Instagram, for example, if you put a hashtag, you don't know who's going to find it and follow you. So you might connect with people that you wouldn't meet face to face in your social circles. So that's kind of nice. Speaking of connecting with new people around shared interests, I just want to make another DCPL plug before we end. This month, we're hosting DC Reads, which is a citywide book club with a series of discussions and events about this year's book. This year, it's called Heads of the Colored People by Nafisa Thompson Spires. Really cool coming up this weekend as part of this series is BlurredCon this Saturday, May 11th at 1 p.m. at the Benning Dorothy Height Library. The BlurredCon is your chance to learn about the love of cosplay and comics in the African-American community and other communities of color. And you can check out dclibrary.org/DCReads for a full list of May's DC Reads events. Carolyn, anything you'd like to plug or shout out before we wrap up for the day?
Yes, yes, and yes. So from a Goodwill Finding Your Good standpoint, on May 18th, we will be participating in a thrifting bus tour. So it's an all-day thrifting shopping experience with Thrifting Diva. So that's May 18th. You can sign up. There are seats still available on that day as well. We have our shopping meetup in Fairfax, Virginia. So two things that day. It's like a thrifting extravaganza. Woo-woo. And then on June 1st, Goodwill will be hosting a donation drive in partnership with Geico at Geico's HQ in Friendship Heights. That's on our Facebook page. You can follow it there. On June 15th, we will be having a decluttering event with the sole organizer, one of our influencer partners. That will be at Goodwill. That's on our Facebook too. And I think those are all the big events. There, we have so much stuff going on. It is crazy. So just check us out on social media at DC Goodwill, Great Goodwill of Greater Washington, Finding Your Good, DC Vegan Life, and Petite_Punk for all updates and things coming up.
Yes.
I'm not a walking calendar. I wish
so
I was.
So much fun stuff. Cool. Well, this has been an episode of DC Public Library Presents on Full Service Radio, broadcast live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Thank you so much to Carolyn Becker of Goodwill Greater Washington and DC Vegan Life for being today's guest and sharing your talent and inspiration with the DC community. And please visit dclibrary.org to learn more about the library's services and programs. You can talk to us online at DCPL on Twitter. That's at DCPL and at DC Public Library on Instagram. Listen and download this show wherever you listen to your podcast by searching for Full Service Radio. On next week's episode, we have a teen show. Thank you for listening and have a good afternoon.
Yay! Yay, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.